You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, the independent voice of UNC Sports, brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the go-to provider for all your Tar Heel gear.
Welcome into The Scoop, the number one UNC football recruiting podcast in the world, part of the Inside Carolina Podcast Network, and brought to you by our good friends at Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. The best and most local place for all your UNC apparel and gear needs. Go to JohnnyT-Shirt.com or Johnny T-Shirt on Franklin Street. I'm your host, Ross Martin. And as always, on The Scoop, I'm joined by Donnie Scoops Callahan. What's going on, Don?
I am here to bring the energy, as I've been accused of not doing so in the past, apparently. Even though we record on Wednesday, 9 o'clock in the morning, and just not all that enthusiastic that time of day normally. But today, the Flyers play game two of round two at 3 o'clock against the Islanders, needing a win, and they play tomorrow. So if you're listening to this tomorrow, they play tomorrow at 7 or 8. I can't remember which time.
Is this second round of the playoffs?
Second round of the playoffs.
And the next round will be semis?
Yes.
Or like conference championship?
Cool, conference championship. Semis, okay. Conference championship. So I am going to bring the energy because I'm going to need it for 3 o'clock today. What All is right. going on in Ross's world?
Man, not much, man. Just kind of working. And I was in Charlotte this weekend to see some friends socially distanced. Went tubing on Sunday. And yeah, we're full steam ahead for this football season. We got football's back on. The team took a break for 4 days to get reset and figure out some stuff, I guess, with testing and Corona. And I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, but I did want to ask you about that. I know that, I guess it's because I'm so stuck on all these other things going on with recruiting and everything. I mean, I see the headlines and everything, but yeah. I just got a bunch of worried text messages and phone calls over the weekend. What's your take on how this? And then you have what's going on with NC State. There was a report yesterday saying that they might delay their season. What's your feel? You're around this more than me.
Yeah, it's not good right now. I mean, I guess there were some cases with the NC State program. You know, we've heard that and from a UNC spokesman that there were no cases with UNC football. And it was just, I think, kind of talking to some people that maybe it was like a spring sport issue or just kind of a reset and tell everybody to take this very seriously. And maybe some other sports teams getting a little loose with their social distancing and with all the students back. So, I don't know, reset, test, make sure everything's good. But football's back. They scrimmaged on Tuesday, practiced today. Practice Monday, scrimmage Tuesday. I think they have practice today. We have Mac Brown today on Wednesday at 1 p.m. So we'll learn more about that during that press conference. Who knew? I mean, States.
Do you worry that we're getting the most honest information, not only from North Carolina, but just in general?
I mean, what do you mean worried? Like,
well, I mean, I just feel like it doesn't if you want if you're in a position of power and you want the season to happen, you're not going to give out any information that you don't necessarily have. And I'm talking about like Alabama, for example, is just, if you read some of the headlines about their campus and to think that they're not having some sort of problems on their football team, if it's happening so much on their campus would be surprising, but you don't hear anything because they're definitely in the group that wants to play.
Yeah. I mean, I would hope that they wouldn't lie to us about cases on the team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you would hope.
I mean, I don't even know if that'd be smart to do from a PR standpoint, because if it gets out, then you're toast. I think the students moving off campus, or at least reducing the amount of students on campus and putting classes online, is a good move. But there's still a lot of people in Chapel Hill and still a lot of people in a lot of these college towns that are still partying and hanging out. All right, we got to get to the meat of the show here. We're going to tease. We have Gavin Blackwell coming on for an interview. That is UNC's four-star wide receiver commitment for the 2021 class. He's going to come on here shortly for an interview on us. We're going to do a wide-ranging interview like we've done in the past with Elijah Green, with Jefferson Boaz. Who else have we had on?
Deion Glover was a big one.
Deion Glover. Have we had any other prospects? commits?
We had Javari Ritzy a couple days after he committed.
Javari Ritzy, yeah. So getting into the – now that all the 2020 commitments are enrolled, we can get into the 2021 commitments. So stay tuned for a Gavin Blackwell interview. First, I want to remind you to rate, review, and subscribe to the Inside Carolina podcast. We got a bunch of good podcasts rolling now. The backstory with Joey Powell, of course, Coast to Coast as well, and of course, On the Beat with Tommy, myself, and Greg Barnes, and just a variety of different kind of interviews and great things. So subscribe to the Inside Carolina podcast wherever you get your podcasts, Google, Spotify, Apple. Get it done. Give us a review and rate the podcast 5 stars. Okay, Don, so before we bring on Gavin, we're going to talk about a couple things. You know, it's a little bit of a slow period in recruiting, as you stated in your weekly scoop. But some notes. First of all, tell us what's going on right now with UNC's 2021 class. Let's get a quick overview. I feel like we haven't talked in 2 weeks, and has there anything changed? What are some developments we should know about?
I mean, there's not a whole lot has changed. I mean, we're kind of, you know, really kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel with certain things. But, I mean, really, UNC wants to add a tight end to this class. Bryce Nesbitt is the guy that they're focusing on. And they want to replace the vacancy created by Jarrett Wilson flipping back to Georgia. And their sights are set on Diego Pounds, an in-stater who they offered shortly after Wilson decommitted. And then they're also recruiting Yusuf Mugerbill, who UNC has been recruiting throughout. And we touched on a lot of that stuff other than the Bryce Nesbitt stuff, but on the offensive line stuff in the weekly scoop and just where things sit with both Pounds and with Mugerbill. We did a story also on Mugerbill earlier in the week. Check that out. So a lot of good information in the weekly scoop. So and it brushes over all those topics.
Would they take Pounds and Mugerbill?
I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah, just because I don't think they have the space, and there's a lot of uncertainty on what the NCAA is going to do with the scholarship numbers. You just don't know. And for those who think, oh well, it makes a whole lot of sense to do this. You know, the NCAA doesn't do a lot of things that make a whole lot of sense. So you have to prepare for kind of the worst case scenario, and kind of have to proceed as you were proceeding, and they weren't looking to take two or additional one.
So they have just Eli Sutton committed right now?
For offensive line, correct, yes.
Okay, dang.
All right. We have a story coming up on Eli Sutton.
Wow.
Who kind of talks about that. That will be posted likely by the time you hear this podcast.
Great tease. So what's going on with this, scholarship stuff? Like, I haven't really dived into it. I've seen some questions about it on the board. I don't even know what to say about it. So they're going to give every player another year of eligibility?
Yes.
Regardless of if they play or not?
So really nobody knows for certain what the NCAA is going to do. I was talking to a source who would know best about this actually yesterday. And from his understanding, the NCAA, and they do this a lot when they come out with a ruling, is like an interpretation sort of Q&A that they send out to its membership schools. And the NCAA is, I guess, scheduled to send out one of those Q&As this week. I don't know how much of that will make it to the media or what, but it will give the schools a little bit better of an idea of what's going to happen and how the NCAA is going to proceed. But and it could be a situation where they need some more rulings on certain things. We just have a huge mess on our hands with all this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, just another thing with sports and coronavirus. It's dicey. I mean, they're going to have to increase the number of scholarships allowed for each team, right?
Yeah, and I think what the assumption is that the NCAA will say something along the lines of, okay, if you were going to lose this amount of guys coming out of the 2020 season, then that's the amount of guys that you can bring in that, you know, to kind of level things off.
Okay.
But, you know, who knows?
Hey, good stuff. All right. So yeah, make sure you check out Don's weekly scoop for premium subscribers. There's a 10%, right now there's a 50% off discount for you to subscribe to Inside Carolina. It's for a 1 year membership, 50% off. So check that out on Inside Carolina. And of course with Giant T-shirt, giantt-shirt.com, you can get the 10% off discount code on the Tar Pit and UNC basketball message boards. All right. So Mugerbill, pounds. We talked about, yeah, the QB thing was a little interesting. Do you want to get into that now, or is that something we can talk about after?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want, I don't want to talk about it right now. Let's wait until after we get Gavin back on.
Okay.
I don't know how deep I want to get into it. It's pretty detailed on the Weekly Scoop. I don't want to give away too much. I want to make sure people are reading.
A lot of teasing this morning. Okay, awesome. So we're going to bring in Gavin here shortly when he calls in. Before that, I want to tease, after the Gavin Blackwell interview, we have a special segment we're going to introduce called Five Questions with Don Callahan. And that is going to be me asking five random questions to Don Callahan.
And I have no idea. These questions have not been sent to me.
They're going to be completely off topic. And no football recruiting, no UNC recruiting. And we'll get Don. We'll create some conversation, I believe, is kind of the goal of this, to get to know each other and get to know Don better. So stay tuned for that. We're going to bring in Gavin next. Before that, a little tease here for Johnny T-Shirt, GiantT-Shirt.com, your place for all your UNC football and basketball and baseball and soccer needs. Get your jerseys, get your shirts at GiantT-Shirt.com. Great place to get your gifts. I got four sweatshirts there in the spring. I go there for my T-shirts, for my hats. They have everything. And online, their store is extensive. They pack a lot online and in their store at GiantT-Shirt right on Franklin Street. For premium subscribers, use that 10% off discount code. And they have great gifts too, like, you know, little cups, little koozies, things for tailgating, things for the office, framed pictures, all that good stuff. Go to Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. We want to make sure we thank them for sponsoring us and show that support by going there and buying something for someone. We got to stimulate the economy, Don. Stimulate the economy.
Stimulate.
Here we go. We'll be right back with Gavin Blackwell. Welcome back to The Scoop. We want to bring on our very special guest, four-star wide receiver, 2021 UNC commitment, Gavin Blackwell. What's going on, Gavin?
How you doing?
Good, good, good. We're going to throw this over to Don, and we're going to get things started.
Yeah, Gavin, I really appreciate you being on here. Gavin is actually – I feel like I've known Gavin forever, just because for the longest time he was kind of like that wide receiver that Sam Howe threw to. And Sam actually introduced us. Do you remember that?
At a game, I remember.
Yeah, and he told me that – he said, this is the next guy from Sun Valley I'm going to have to be covering. So Ross, you want to go with start off with the first question?
Yeah. So, all right. So first thing we want to get into before we get into how your recruitment is your decision to skip your senior season. Obviously with coronavirus and all this stuff, the season in North Carolina has moved to the spring. So what went into making that decision and your decision to enroll at UNC in January?
Really it just how it played out. I knew if the season got moved to spring or whatever happened, I was going to leave in January no matter what. That was just my plan from the jump. Things didn't plan out the way, you know, I saw them to play my senior year. But I told my coach from the beginning, like, if our season got moved to the spring, I was still going to be enrolling early in January. Still was going to do what I had set out to do. So, I mean, it just worked out that way.
Is that tough? It's got to be challenging. I mean, like, you wait for your senior year and all of a sudden it's gone. I mean, what's that like kind of from a emotional standpoint?
I mean, it's always, you know, tough making that kind of decision. Not playing your senior year, last year of high school with your friends and stuff like that. That was probably the most tough thing. Never going to play with my friends again or something like that. But at the end of the day, it's business. So I'm trying to get to the next level. And I guess I'm ready for the next chapter in my life.
It sounds like you pretty much had the decision made. It wasn't a very difficult decision for you to make once you were kind of faced with what you had.
Right. It wasn't a hard decision at all. I mean, I thought a lot about it beforehand, but with the situation at Chapel Hill and stuff like that, I want to get in early and try to compete for a job freshman year.
Okay. I wanted to get into your recruitment a little bit, kind of rehash what it was like. Most of your recruitment actually kind of played out during your sophomore and junior seasons. I mean, you had your first top five in the January before your junior season. And then you had a lot – well, obviously North Carolina, a lot of schools kind of felt – or a lot of people kind of felt like North Carolina was was going to be your ultimate selection. Was it kind of as soon as they offered, was it a foregone conclusion that you were going to end up at UNC?
Not at all. Not at all. When Chapel Hill first offered me, I'm pretty sure Coach Fedora was still there. And I mean, of course, there were a consideration, but at that time, like when they offered me, it wasn't like I had my mind set on North Carolina. I was still just going through my recruitment, you know, seeing other places, going on visits, just seeing what I liked. And there were some other schools that I liked. And I mean, when it came down to checking out the boxes, North Carolina, it checked off every box. There were some schools that checked off good boxes too and stuff like that, but those schools were kind of far. Talked to my parents about it, and we figured out that was the best decision for me to make, and I couldn't go wrong with it.
What other schools were really piquing your interest?
It was real tough not to go to LSU. And Ohio State, I really I had a good relationship with them, but their recruiting class and stuff like that, and didn't really go as planned for me. They got a couple receivers 2020, and then they got a couple 2021 before I made any decisions or stuff like that. And then Florida, I was real big on Florida. And just worked out well for me at Chapel Hill.
Speaking of that, you committed in early February. And I remember talking to you after you actually made the commitment. And you said that you actually made the decision on a visit because your mother kind of pulls you aside and was kind of talking to you about just the whole situation. Just explain to us just what kind of happened. What was it about that conversation? What did your mom say to you to kind of push you to make the commitment?
I was doing a photo shoot. I was getting ready to take my pictures, and like she told me to come here, and she was just like, I mean, you act like this every time you come here. You happy? You love these people. They love me, like, what you waiting on? And she just kept asking me that question. I was like, what you mean? She was like, what are you waiting on? I was like, I'm really not waiting on nothing. Like, I was just carrying the decision out. But, I mean, really and truly, I had my decision made. And then that's when I made it official. I told Coach Galloway what it was, and then went to the basketball game later that night, got in the office with Coach Mac Brown, and told him, and that's when it was.
So it sounds like your mom was pretty high on UNC and wanted to keep you close. Is that true?
Yeah, both of my parents were. That's really a main thing that kept me on, not going too far, letting my family being able to see me play. And stuff like that.
Gotcha. Don's got the next question.
Yeah. Well, actually, Ross does. But I remember that at Sam Howell's announcement, and I don't know if you remember this, but I never mentioned it since then. I kind of kept it in my back pocket. I said to you, I said, does this mean that you're going to end up in North Carolina? And you told me yes. You said that, you know, that you wanted to play with Sam. How much of an impact did Sam being at North Carolina, and then not only being at North Carolina, but just having this unbelievable freshman year play into your decision?
Throughout high school, Sam was like a real, real big brother to me. A lot of stuff people don't know about and stuff like that. But when he was committed to Florida State, I feel like that's where I was going. I just felt like wherever he was going, I thought I should go. But I was young at the time, and I was just saying stuff, but it really worked out that way. For him to decommit and go to North Carolina, it opened my eyes up a little bit, and that's when I made my decision. But for him to impact my decision, he never, like, tried to recruit me, never like tried to force my decision, never told me to come to North Carolina. He just wanted what was best for me. And of course he wanted me to come, but he never like, you know, put anything in my ear or anything like that. He said, make your own decision. Do what's best for you. He just wanted what's best for me, and that's what it was. But it definitely played a little bit into it, getting to play with my high school quarterback again, my big brother.
You actually, if I remember correctly, were Sam's guest for his official visit to North Carolina. Is that right?
Somewhat, yeah, I would say that.
So what was that like, kind of being able to basically go on an official visit before it was really your official visit?
I mean, I was just seeing what it was like. I mean, it was his official visit, so it wasn't really like I got any different. But actually, I wasn't even really around him a lot his official visit, because it was his visit. So, but just from what I did see, it looked like a great official visit. Definitely an official visit that I was looking forward to, and still looking forward to if we still get to take those. I think it's in December, but it was a pretty cool experience.
When do you think you're going to actually be able to take your official visit, considering what's going on with this coronavirus?
I heard it was December, but I'm not sure. I'm not really sure on that yet.
What was it like having Sam as your high school quarterback? I mean, he was like a, you know, big time recruit and obviously really good. So definitely helped what you could do on the field. Can you kind of give us some insight to having that caliber of a guy as your quarterback?
It's always good to have a quarterback like that. And when I say like that, I mean, I really don't think you can find many like him. He's real different. I know I will never play with a quarterback like that again in my life. But just having him on your high school team, it was like, it was just different, yeah. Real different. You know, like I couldn't. You can't really explain it. Like, you just got to be on that team. You got to be around him to know, like, he the real deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, you know, another thing about UNC's offense, I mean, it's a pass-happy, you know, receiver-friendly offense. What do you think about what Phil Longo has done so far in the offense and kind of getting to kind of your role in that as well?
I feel like it was just getting started with offense. I feel like last year they only showed a little bit of what they can do. And Coach Longo had a lot more plays in the book that he could pull out this year, and I feel like it's going to be real successful at it.
How do you see you fitting into what they do? What have they told you about what your role will be?
I'll probably be more versatile playing inside and outside. That's because I've played both. But, I mean, I was planning on coming in there, like, playing wherever they want me, learning all positions or whatever I need to do to get on the field.
Have they given you, like, a particular wide receiver to watch and say, this is how we want to kind of use you?
No, I've really been looking at Deami and Daz.
Okay.
That's pretty much it. I mean, I'm not really a big guy like Bo, so I don't – or you know what I mean, or a tight end. So I've just been looking at those two because I feel like those are the two positions I probably play the most.
So, yeah, kind of a mix between, like you said, inside and but also some slots – or outside and some slot stuff as well.
Mm.
Gotcha. All right, Don, you got anything?
So the one thing that I think sticks out – I mean, obviously – you know, you have tons of talent, speed, good route runner, great hands and everything. But the thing I love about watching you play is you seem to, when you are on the field, truly enjoy the game. Like, everybody enjoys it, but you seem to have a lot of fun out there. Is that, what's kind of your mentality when you're on the field?
When I stop having fun with the game, I won't play no more. Like, I mean, having fun and loving the game, that's all it's about to me. Of course, I got a mission to play the game. There's a want to play the game, but I just like when I'm out there, it's peace. Like being out there to run routes on people, being out there to play is just fun, and it's a sport that I didn't really get to play my whole life. So I feel like that plays a lot into it too. I didn't start playing football until I was in eighth grade. I was like maybe 13, 14 years old.
Oh wow, I didn't realize that.
And that's when it started. Like, and then now you can't take me away from football. So I mean, and talking junk just out there, having fun. It's just something I love to do. I love having fun.
That leads me to my next question, was the trash talking. And I've told Ross before when we've talked about you, is you kind of almost remind me of Chad Johnson, Chad Ochocinco, just how you talk a lot of trash.
We can say talking shit.
Can we say that? Anyway, yeah, say you talk a lot, but nobody on the opposition ever takes offense. It's almost like a playful sort of thing. Like you keep it, you're not offensive with it. You keep it fun. You keep it competitive. No, you don't think so?
I get disrespectful real quick.
Maybe real. I haven't viewed those moments.
Yeah. I mean, I keep it to, you know, I don't get too loud with it or nothing. Because if it's personal, I'm going to keep it between me and him.
Like, okay.
I'm gonna slide something in there to where he might get a little mad or whatever. But
do you like research your opponents and try to find out, you know, what their girlfriend's names are or anything like that?
Nah, I ain't gonna get into that like that. I'm gonna talk junk on the field. Like if I catch it or they talking, like 7-on-7 tournaments, the worst. Like
yes,
people don't really know me like that. But like I'm on Twitter or whatever. And I see, like, highly ranked recruits or whatever, I want to go at their neck. Like, I want him in front of me. Like, you got to show me you Bama worthy, you Clemson worthy, like, you all that. Like, nah. Like, all that really don't matter to me. And then on the real field, I mean, I don't really like saying too much to players. I start going on to the sideline with the coaches. Mm-hmm. Don't let me get on the sideline, I promise you.
Speaking of the 7-on-7s, you know, because the season has been delayed, the North Carolina high school football season has been delayed to February, there's a lot of talk of 7-on-7s being pretty prominent this fall, including the Carolina Stars, which you're a part of. What can you tell us about how active are you going to be on the 7-on-7 circuit this fall?
I got to sit down and have a talk to my parents about that. Knowing me, I love playing 7-on-7. So it's not like I'm going to hesitate to be out there. I know Coach Boone, he's talking to me about it. We're supposed to have practice this weekend or whatever. But it was like a fall league trying to get a couple tournaments in, like around the state, like a couple teams around the state or Virginia or whatever to come down and play us, which really is – it ain't gonna make no difference to me. I mean, I can count on my hand how many times we've lost. And that's not many.
So no, the Stars are legit.
Is Drake May the quarterback?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this leads to my next question. Kind of we'll close it out here. We appreciate you coming on, Gavin. But the 2021 class, you're a big part of it. You were an early commitment. You're one of the in-state 4-stars. What are your general thoughts about the UNC's 2021 class?
I feel like we got a chance to do something real special. Just because of the bond we got before we're going into Chapel Hill, just like knowing each other or like creating a little brotherhood before we get there. We're all like, I feel like we're all good. I feel like we all got something special in our game that's gonna help us at Chapel Hill. That's gonna, you know, put an emphasis on the team to come in and make a difference. You know,
how's that group chat? Who are some of the bigger personalities in that group chat y'all have?
Most definitely Eli. Eli's different. Eli's real different, and Keyshawn. Keyshawn different too. It's more the big guys like Javari, Keyshawn. Eli, just them boys, they tend to be a little different.
How is Eli different?
Eli, he's just country, real country, which I mean, that's no problem to me, but he's just real country out there in Tennessee. I think it's Tennessee. Yeah. He having a lot of fun.
Gotcha. All right, Don, you got anything else?
No, I just really appreciate Gavin coming on today. For those who don't know, he's taking time between classes because I guess you were doing a lot of at home mobile classes. So I appreciate you taking time between classes to do this. Always a pleasure to speak with you, Gavin.
Oh, yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
All right, Gavin, appreciate it. We'll be right back with more of The Scoop.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Welcome back into The Scoop. Hope you enjoyed that Gavin Blackwell interview. Thought he was good, as expected. I imagine I think he had a little bit of a low energy, but maybe that's just who he is.
No, I mean, he's usually a little bit higher energy, but, I mean, like I said earlier, it's in the morning.
Yeah.
And then also for him, I mean, he's taking classes. He was doing it between classes. So I'm sure that he has his mindset on academics. And so we got a little bit of the academic Gavin.
You woke him up when we started talking about his talking junk and stuff.
Yeah, we probably should have started off with that.
Yeah, that got him going.
And a little bit behind the scenes for those who this, because it's obviously going to be on the cutting room floor, is that, I mean, we waited a little bit because his class ran a little bit longer than anticipated, and we didn't know. And so we, just when we were getting ready to start to do something different, in his absence, he came on, which was great. So it saved the podcast.
That was awesome. Yeah, I'm excited to have him at UNC to cover him. 4-star wide receiver Gavin Blackwell out of Charlotte, Charlotte area, I guess.
Yeah.
How far is Indian Trail from Charlotte, downtown Charlotte?
I mean.
Okay, sorry I asked.
I don't know exactly what constitutes. You know,
yeah.
I mean, we're talking. It's in Union County, and Union County is the next county, is right next to Mecklenburg County. So okay. I mean, it's, and some of that you're driving around and you're like, is this Charlotte? Is this what you know? What is what? You know what I mean? So
I guess I confused you for a football recruiting expert. All right. Anything else we talk about? You want to do the QB thing on the scoop? You just want to skip that? I mean, basically, Don kind of broke down the path of UNC's recruitment in the future for quarterbacks. You know, obviously Sam Howell right now, Jacoby Criswell is enrolled, Drake May, and the offers going out for the 2022 class, 2023 class. It's pretty interesting to see kind of what UNC and offensive coordinator Phil Longo is doing. Any comment on that, Don? Just a brief kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, definitely check out the Weekly Scoop to get the details on it. But it gives you a good picture of just how North Carolina is going to proceed with the quarterback position, which is, for obvious reasons, a very unique position. You recruit it differently than what you recruit other positions. And just how that plan kind of aligns with the talent that the state of North Carolina has been producing at the quarterback position. And it also gives you a little bit of answers on what to expect for this class, particularly as it pertains to, you know, Gunnar Stockton, one of UNC's top 2022. I said this class. I'm talking about the 22 class. Mm-hmm. Gunnar Stockton committed to South Carolina last week, and Ty Simpson, the other quarterback offer, he seems destined for a school like Tennessee or Clemson, and not North Carolina. So it gives you a great picture of just what's going on. So definitely check that out if you haven't already.
Okay, we're going to get to a new segment now called Five Questions for Don to close out the podcast. A little kind of slower last couple of weeks in recruiting. We had the Gavin Blackwell interview. We're now going to do five questions with Don. But before that, I want to tease. I think we're going to do some Q&As here for both of us. listener-submitted Q&As. If you have any off-topic questions regarding Don or myself or just anything about our job, you know, not really UNC football recruiting, but anything you want to know about us or in our opinion on certain things, we're going to accept questions from the listeners.
Do we have limits on these questions? I mean, can they?
It can be anything. It can literally be anything, and the weirder the better. You can email Don at don@insidecarolina.com.
Don at
insidecarolina.com or DM Don on IC or add me on there as well or email us and we'll get those questions up.
They can email Ross, can they not?
No, we'll just keep it with you. Probably best there. And then we'll go through them and pick a couple questions depending on news cycle, and we'll do Q&A with Ross and Don. All right, but first, my five questions for Don. Don has not seen these.
Oh, boy.
A little off topic.
I'm
here.
Scared.
Have a little fun. Okay? Answer these honestly and quickly. and I don't want you to be thinking about it too much because I want your initial idea. Okay. What's your favorite dessert?
Oh, man. I guess it had to be – well.
One dessert for the rest of your life.
One dessert. And we're considering donuts as a meal, right?
I think that's more of a breakfast pastry.
Okay, so donuts are a meal. So I gotta go ice cream.
What flavor?
I like it all. Rocky Road. I like
Rocky Road might be my favorite too.
I like trying a lot of different things. I'm typically like very like whatever it is, this is what I like. You know what I mean? But with ice cream, I like to venture out. I like to get a little crazy. I like stuff with peanut butter in it, with chocolate. I like, I'm cool with, you know, those blizzards where you just get the different items thrown into it. Yeah. So, I mean,
next time the man tower, we should do an ice cream, like sundae type deal.
Okay. Like a massive one, like
get like fudge, get whipped cream, get a couple toppings.
M&Ms. This is starting to sound a little kinky, Ross.
All right. Next question. Favorite all-time food, one food for the rest of your life. Now this can be a meal, like, you know, pasta would be a meal, burger would be a meal, hot dog, or it could be like, you know, whatever. Philly steak, for example. Rest of your life, one thing.
Rest of my life. There's so much. I guess, you know what? Yeah, let's go. I'm gonna go with a hoagie. All right,
like a sub sandwich.
Sub. We call it a hoagie in Philadelphia, but I'm talking about like an actual with a ton of meat from a Philadelphia deli, not from
like an Italian kind of hoagie.
Yeah, Italian hoagie. You know, with capicola on it, with oil on it, with mayonnaise on it, all that sort of stuff, but tons of meat to where when they cut it in half, you look at the side of it and you see tons of meat in there. That's what I would do.
Yeah,
we'll
clip that part out there. What?
Jalapenos, banana peppers, all that sort of stuff.
That sounds great. That'd be up there for me too. I love a good sandwich. All right, next question. What's the craziest thing that happened to you or that you saw growing up in Philly? That's like kind of like Philly related, I guess. I just have no concept of growing up in Philly.
All right, so it was my assistant baseball coach. It was actually like for whatever reason the head coach wasn't there, and we had just a few of our teammates there. I saw him get beat with a bat.
Oh my gosh!
So
at the game?
No, it was a practice, and we didn't have like a full squad there, and it was just the assistant coach, and can't remember the circumstances. There were a couple of kids who were not on the team, who were kind of mixing it up with some of the guys on our team before practice. It was a long time ago. I don't remember the details, but I remember they came, the two guys came, grabbed the bats. I ran.
The players beat up the coach?
No. These were just kids close to my age, which I was probably about middle school-ish at the time. They came and they grabbed a couple of the bats and were kind of, I guess, yelling at coach. So I kind of was like, all right, time, practice is over for me. And so
you ran home to mommy.
I ran home to mommy. I remember turning around though and seeing the one guy with the bat swinging and hitting my coach. And then I just kind of turned back and continued continued on. And the crazy thing is the police came, even though you could see the two guys across the street kind of standing there. And for whatever reason, and I don't remember the details, but for whatever reason, there wasn't a whole lot the police could do. And but I think maybe part of that was, I remember my coach said he did not want to press charges. So
sounds like some police corruption there. All right.
I have another one that's pretty crazy.
Okay, let's go.
All right, so I went to H.R. Edmonds Elementary School in Philadelphia. Most of the elementary schools go from kindergarten to eighth grade. And there was a fight on one week where it was basically one guy and three guys kind of got involved and were fighting him. You know, it was between two guys and then two other guys jumped in sort of thing. So the guy who was, I guess, singled out or whatever, his best friend's brother was in the Crips. So the next week, the Crips came to our school, which was pretty crazy. And it was, the crazy thing is, was like any sort of weapon, like someone had a pit bull. Among those weapons, I remember walking home that day from school, and I was with a buddy of mine who knew one of the guys who was in the Crips, and I guess the police were coming, and he said, "Hey, can you guys hide something for me?" And my friend was like, "We don't want to be involved, yada, yada." He's like, no, you know, no one will check you. And he pulls out, I swear to God, all right, you're not going to believe it. He pulled out a sword. I don't know where he got it from. And so I guess he gave it to my buddy and he threw it into a bush and we never saw it again. But it was like an actual, like, long sword.
Okay. Yeah, I remember some middle school fights, man, in Greensboro. They're crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not inner city school, but I went to a school downtown Greensboro. And there were some crazy – I mean, I remember my PE coach got hit in the face at, like, 7 a.m. during bus duty. And, like, he had to leave. Like, it was, like, Coach Leitner got nailed in the face.
Ours, I remember –
trying to break a fight.
A lot of ours were actually – girls actually fought a lot more.
Oh, yeah. Those are the best ones. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And my brother was ahead of me, so I'd hear about – he'd always talk about the fights, and then when I got there, there were fights. It's crazy.
And, well, the thing about the girls that I remember is that when there would be a fight in, like, a staged fight sort of thing, like they were going to meet at the corner sort of thing, like the girls would go to their friends and get rings. And so their hands would be full of rings just, I guess, it was vicious.
Yeah. I mean, that's classic, like, 90s, you know, early 2000s, middle school. I'm sure it was the same thing. I don't know if that happens now. It's probably not fights on Instagram and Twitter and TikTok fights.
No, I mean, because my kids are now in middle school, we don't hear about it so much. I mean, every once in a while.
You're in suburbia. You're in suburbia.
Yeah, but we have, a lot of the problems that we hear about, like, particularly on our kids' school bus, comes from Big Daddy's Trailer Park. Appears to be a trouble area for troubled youths.
Jeez.
So
I'm gonna move on from that. All right. What's your favorite drink, non-alcoholic drink, to enjoy? Like, if you had one drink the rest of your life, non-alcoholic.
You know, I have really, and this wasn't the case until maybe the past, I don't know, 10 years or whatever. I just, and this is gonna be boring.
Water.
Just some with tons of ice. I put a ton of ice all the way up and then fill it up, which obviously is not a whole lot of water, but obviously it melts with the ice and everything, and I just drink it all day long. If I am coming from a camp and I just am just so incredibly thirsty or whatever,
Gatorade.
I'll Gatorade. Yeah, I'll grab a Gatorade.
I predicted both your answers.
Do you know what type of Gatorade that I like, though?
Purple.
Nope.
Blue.
Green apple.
Oh my
Very
gosh.
Hard to find. What and it's weirdo. Actually fairly new.
Fucking psycho.
Endorsed by Peyton Manning.
Okay, and last one. I feel like I'm getting all my good questions out in this first episode. Okay.
Oh, God.
All right, so if you could wear one outfit for the rest of your life on, like, a Saturday, you know, this is not formal, this is just Saturday, hang out at the house, but you have people around. Give me from head to toe, what your outfit's going to be like on a Saturday. Let's say the temperature is 65 degrees. It's a little cold, but not too cold. A little hot, not too hot.
Yeah, I like to be comfortable. So, for one, it has to be gym shorts, you know, where I'm comfortable.
Let's go head to toe.
Okay. All right. Nothing on the head. Don't like hats. I'll wear a visor for camps and stuff to keep the sun away, but that's just about it. I guess for a shirt. I mean, I'm all about comfort first. So whatever's okay. comfortable. So maybe a jersey, you know, but I mean, even a jersey's not so comfortable. So yeah, but I mean, definitely.
All right. Phillies t-shirt or a Flyers t-shirt.
Okay. Flyers t-shirt.
Okay.
Maybe Phillies.
Underwear?
Definitely underwear. This is getting really creepy. I'm a boxer guy, but
noted by all women listeners. Okay, shorts.
Yeah, just regular gym shorts.
Sorry, someone tried to call me. All right. Okay, and then what else?
And I mean, I'm not. This is important discussion right now. I feel like men should not wear flip-flops in public unless they're going to the beach or the pool. Okay. So
you're thinking socks and
tennis. I'm thinking socks. Yeah, socks. You know, although, you know, if I'm home, I'm not wearing anything. But, you know, feet are gross. Okay. Especially men feet.
We're going to move on. Awesome. Good stuff, Don. Appreciate that. That was five questions with Don. We hope you liked the Gavin Blackwell interview. We will probably take a week off next week too, unless there's some big news. But it seems like it's kind of a slow period in UNC football recruiting. UNC has 16 commitments. Maybe get, what, two or three more, Don? Is that kind of what we think?
Yep, that's what we're thinking.
So from now until December, which is the big signing day, probably only two or three more. So really, we got to start doing 22 stuff, I think, here in a little bit. Don, what do you think about that?
Yeah, and the weekly scoop, we're slowly moving into that. Yeah, September 1st is actually a big day because that's when 22s can get more information, more contact from colleges.
So maybe we'll do, coming up in the next couple of weeks, a top targets for the 22 class, maybe like a top 10 type deal we can kind of run through because I don't know them at all. So it'll be good for me.
We got to educate you.
Yeah, because I think we did that last year. I think we've done that every year, at least kind of to give a preview of what's to come.
Okay, that sounds good.
All right, awesome, guys. Thanks for listening to Scoop.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Where to go for your next Tar Heel gear purchase.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.